a reported bid to make it easier to spy on Europeans.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. European officials have told the Financial Times that the Obama administration lobbied the EU to remove a piece of Europe's proposed data privacy law to make it presumably easier for the U.S. to spy on EU citizens. James Fontanella Khan is the FT reporter in Brussels who got the story today about this pressure from the Americans.
They saw this as a problem because they said it would have hindered their investigations. And then what they did, they sent Cameron Kerry, came to Brussels numerous times.
Cameron Kerry, the top lawyer at the Department of Commerce.
Yeah. And he met with a lot of EU commissioners and basically said, if you don't remove this clause, we're going to make your life really hard when it comes to negotiating EU-US trade negotiations.
So in the end, the EU passed the legislation without the disputed clause.
So there's still a chance for EU lawmakers to now reinstate that clause or to add a new one to address the issue. And so it's not all over again. Obviously, US authorities hope that this would have gone unchecked and that nobody would bring this issue up. But I've spoken to a few MEPs in the last few hours, and they say we're actually now going to make sure that this clause gets back into the text and we're not going to pass it unless it is in there.
Members of the European Parliament are saying that to you today.
That's correct, yeah.
James Fontanella Khan is a reporter with the Financial Times. James, thank you.
Thank you, David.
We'll keep covering immigration reform and sequestration, but don't miss the battle over eggs. It involves eggs and states' rights. Marketplace's David Weinberg has the story.
In 2010, California voters overwhelmingly passed Proposition 2, which set standards for how egg-laying hens could be raised. It required that hens have enough space to spread their wings in their cages. Congressman Jared Huffman partnered with the Humane Society on the proposition.
I ran my bipartisan legislation to make it very clear that this standard was uniform for all eggs sold.
In other words, all eggs sold in California had to meet the standard. But opponents of the law argue that it shouldn't be applied to eggs produced outside California. Congressman Steve King of Iowa, the largest egg-producing state in the nation, proposed an amendment that would bar states from imposing their standards on other states.
Congressman King's amendment does not set a national standard for egg production.
Mitch Head is a spokesman for the United Egg Producers, a trade group that wants a national standard for raising hens. They believe that would settle the issue once and for all and make it easier for all egg producers to comply with the law. I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Disinfected and shined back up, the Carnival Triumph cruise ship is relaunching today from Galveston. That's the one with the engine fire and gross bathrooms back in February. From WLRN in Miami, reporter Kenny Malone looks at PR rebranding following a mess.
The Triumph situation was everywhere, from CNN to Saturday Night Live to this.
These little problems seem like clips. You'll soon forget them. Carnival, we're full of shit.
That's Martin Short on The Late Show as a singing, dancing carnival spokesperson.
Now someone get me a bucket. Ow!
Now that we're 4 months removed from the toilet humor, it is worth asking. Is the Triumph name forever besmirched? Lynn Humphrey teaches marketing at Texas Tech and used to work for Carnival. If it were up to him, he'd send the Triumph into a sort of witness protection program for ships.
Completely overhauled the vessel.
Reconfigure the insides.
Rename the ship.
And send that sucker to a fleet across the world in Australia.
Kind of hit the reset button.
I think that's absolutely overkill, specifically for the Triumph.
Bruce Turkell is a branding expert in Miami.
because let's face it, ship happens.
Turkell says cruise passengers are forgiving and will even forget if you let them.
Well, the question becomes, how much are you going to do to remind people of what happened as you tell them what's not going to happen in the future?
But talking about safety has been part of the Carnival strategy. The company put more than $100 million into the Triumph. Carnival also set up an independent safety review board.
So that's the first message I want to get out.
Jerry Cahill is CEO of Carnival Cruise Lines, and his second corporate message, fun. Carnival's bringing in comedian George Lopez and renowned DJ Irie for passengers on this remaiden voyage.
We wanted to show them how much we appreciated them standing by us in kind of a tough time. Plus, we're proud to be back.
As for the question of the ship's sullied moniker.
Are you concerned at all that the Triumph name is going to be synonymous with, you know, to put it crassly, like the human waste component to this?
If I was, I would have changed the name of the ship. No.
Carnival is sticking by the Triumph, and so far so good. There are at least 3,300 people who are not scared off by the name. The ship is booked solid for the relaunch today. In Miami, I'm Kenny Malone for Marketplace.
And there's a Japanese girl band getting a lot of attention these days. Their skirts get shorter when the Nikkei index goes up. My Chicago Keiki members are wearing much longer skirts today, with the Nikkei index in Japan dropping 6.4%. The band's name means street corner economic conditions, and their inaugural single... is full of sexy lyrics. They sing about quantitative easing, infrastructure bonds, and the always stimulating Japanese stimulus plan known as Abenomics. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.